Is it possible to lose the faith? Well, that's what we're going to discuss on today's episode of Grace in Focus. I am Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. Thank you so much for joining us. Now, I've got to tell you, it's a little bittersweet, but today is the last day of our National Bible Conference. It's happening in Coppell, Texas, right at this moment. And if you were not able to join us for our national conference, that's okay. Now, we don't want you to have to miss out on a single moment of the conference, so for your convenience, the conference content will go up on our website, and that website is faithalone.org. We certainly hope that you'll come and check it out. Well, let's go right to today's discussion with Dr. Bob Wilkin and Sean Lazar. Here's Grace in Focus.
Welcome to Grace in Focus. My name's Sean Lazar.
Hi, I'm Bob Wilkin.
And we are answering your questions today. Here is a question from Lindsay. And I don't know if it's a guy or a girl. Lindsay kind of could go either way. Lindsay asks, what's the distinction between the inner man and the Holy Spirit in us? Is the inner man the Holy Spirit, or is the inner man the new regenerate self?
Okay, this is anthropology 101.
But and it's also kind of theology 101. So you are not God.
No. So the born of God part of me, the new man within me, is not God.
Yeah.
It is man. It is human. The Holy Spirit is God. And so God resides within a human vessel.
Yes.
But we need to distinguish God from man. So
yeah.
I never become God. You never become God. A born-again person never is God.
Yeah.
A born-of-God person has the life of the Lord Jesus Christ within him. Jesus Christ said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. As the life, he gives life to all who believe in him. So we have life. He is life. We'll never become eternal life, but we have it. And we have that everlasting life residing in the inner man, which we could call, now there's a big issue in theology called, is man two parts or three parts?
Right.
Is it body, soul, and spirit, three parts,
yeah.
Trichotomous?
Yeah.
Or is it just body and then soul, spirit?
And by the way, there are some Christians, especially those who believe in annihilationism, they just say man is one part.
One part.
Just their soul is really just the life of the body.
But most people are either dichotomous, two parts,
yes.
Or trichotomous, three parts.
Now, I'm trichotomous.
I am too, because Hebrews 4:16, the author of Hebrews, says that the word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing and dividing the soul and the spirit,
right.
Which suggests those are two separate things.
Right.
Very close, but two separate things. So I would say that the inner man resides somewhere in the soul or the spirit or both.
Right.
But the inner man is in there.
Yes, yeah.
The inner man is where the everlasting life resides.
Right. That's the born-again part of you.
Right.
And I don't know if this will be helpful, but I've heard it explained in terms of the temple. The spirit, the inner man, is kind of like the Holy of Holies. And then God's glory was in the Holy of Holies. But God's glory is not the Holy of Holies.
That's
the Holy of Holies is the container, and then God's glory came.
That's a super illustration.
Does that make sense?
That does make sense.
It's the same thing with our regenerate self, our new man. It's kind of like the Holy of Holies, and the Holy Spirit comes and indwells that.
That's great. I'll steal that.
All right. If I can kind of jump off to a related issue, I mean, why is that important? And I'm thinking about Zane Hodge's commentary that we publish, Romans Deliverance from Wrath, especially what he talks about on Romans chapter 7. There seems to be two possibilities in the Christian life. There's a possibility that the flesh overwhelms your Christian walk. And then the other possibility is what?
Well, that the Spirit is guiding and empowering your Christian walk.
Right.
If the Holy Spirit is guiding and empowering your Christian walk, we call that walking in the Spirit.
Right.
If, however, the flesh is guiding and directing you and empowering you, then we call that walking in the flesh. And that often, by the way, in Scripture, is religious.
Yeah.
In for example,
people don't get that. They think that means getting drunk and taking drugs and, you know, lying in the gutter. But it's actually, in Paul's mind, being like a Judaizer.
Right. In Galatians, which is where he interacts with the Judaizers, walking in the flesh is following the dictates of the Judaizers. It's
right.
being circumcised in order to be justified or in order to stay justified.
Right.
It's keeping the law of Moses so that you can try to make it to the kingdom by your works.
Probably today would probably mean having little statues of Mary and beads for praying and not eating meat on Fridays and, you know, all these kind of religious things that people do nowadays.
Right. A lot of the things which are done today within Christianity are legalistic.
Yeah.
And that is walking in the flesh.
Right. And so, I don't know, correct me if I'm wrong, but the Holy Spirit being in the inner man, the life there can be expressed kind of outwardly through our bodies in a way.
Oh, absolutely.
Right?
Paul says that God gives life to our mortal or dead bodies.
Right.
So these dead bodies can be vehicles for the life of Christ.
Yeah.
As the Spirit empowers them.
Right, right. So you can either have an experience of death if you let the flesh kind of overwhelm you, if you have that Romans 7 experience and you lose to the flesh, or you can have an experience of life because the Holy Spirit inside of your new man has full of potential for life.
Right,
right?
Exactly.
Well, Lindsay, I hope that answers a little bit of your question. Here's another question, and this is from Rodney. And Rodney was writing to me. Sorry, Bob.
Okay.
And about a blog I wrote called Assured of the Promises. And I guess in the blog, I mentioned that a lot of people, they'll believe in Jesus for eternal life and they'll know they have it. And then they'll get confused and they'll walk away.
Okay.
And I believe in the blog I said, you know, so when you're telling people, you know, to be assured of these promises, for some people you're going to be leading them to faith for the first time. And for other people, you'll be leading them to a faith that they once had, but they walked away from. And
right.
So Rodney has questions about that. He says, will you please help me understand, for many people, that will help them return to a faith that they lost? So first of all, people can lose their faith.
Absolutely. And that maybe we should take this away from the Christian realm. Obviously, let's take an example. Do we not believe that there are some Buddhists that become Christians?
Sure.
And Muslims that become Christians.
Sure.
And Orthodox Jews that become Christians.
Yeah.
Well, they have lost their old faith.
Right, right.
Okay. Now, does that also happen where someone is an Orthodox Christian?
Yes.
And they become a Buddhist or a Hindu or a Muslim or Orthodox Jew?
Yeah, happens that way too.
Right. And it also happens politically, right?
Right.
We see people change their politics. It happens in terms of all kinds of things.
People change their beliefs all the time. And within Christianity, Presbyterian can be a Baptist, and so they're going to lose their belief in those Presbyterian distinctives, and now they're going to believe Baptist things. Or a Pentecostal might leave and become something else.
There's something like 300 Baptists who become Mormons or Latter-day Saints each week in the United States.
Right, right. So people change their beliefs all the time. And that's true for eternal life, right? You can simply believe that John 3:16 promise, and in that moment you just know, I have everlasting life because that's what Jesus promised.
Okay, now this is a great point. It's true for everlasting life in the sense that I can renounce my former view of everlasting life.
Right.
But I can't renounce everlasting life.
Right, because that's just a done deal.
Once I've got it, I'm stuck with it.
That's what something that's that God has done.
Right.
Right.
And once you're saved, you're always saved, even if later you renounce your faith in Christ for everlasting life. If you become a legalist and think, oh, wait a minute, what I thought before wasn't true.
It's too easy. I better make sure by living a good life and giving away all my stuff and, you know.
A leading Calvinist theologian wrote an article in Ligonier magazine years ago, and he said, I once believed the gospel that Zane Hodges preaches, and I nearly lost my soul doing so.
Hmm.
Well, what he meant was, I once believed this faith alone message, but later I came to see that true faith has commitment and obedience and turning from sins and all these other things. So he's clearly indicating he changed his belief.
Right. So Rodney's second question is, if I lose my faith, does that mean I'm not really saved?
No.
No, because once you believe it, that because there's about 40 things that become true of you once you believe in Jesus for everlasting life. And one of those things is you have everlasting life. Whether you go on, you still believe that like 10 minutes later or a day later or a year later, it's still true of you.
But if Rodney, how did he put it, loses his faith?
If I lose my faith, does that mean I'm not really saved?
No, it doesn't mean that, but he's lost something. What he's lost is assurance of everlasting life.
Right, that's right.
Now, that's assuming, of course, that his faith that he's talking about is faith in Christ for everlasting life. In other words, I know with certainty that I have everlasting life because Jesus guarantees it.
So, by contrast, I can imagine someone who maybe grew up in a Catholic or Orthodox or Anglican or some other Church of Christ, who believed in work salvation.
Right.
And then they become an atheist.
Right.
Well, they didn't lose their salvation by losing their faith because they never believed in Jesus savingly to begin with.
Right. They lost their faith, but they never had everlasting life in the first place. And so I think his question, Rodney's question, assumes you're dealing with a person who had assurance of everlasting life to start with.
So his third question is, and if I find my faith again, does that mean salvation? Well, what do you mean when you say faith? Again, it depends on what you initially believed. If you believed in Jesus for eternal life, you always have it, whatever you go on to believe later. And so when you come back to believing that, you're not regaining eternal life. You always had it. But what you are regaining, as you said, Bob, is your assurance.
Right,
your assurance
absolutely.
That you're, wow, I have this. But for some people, if you've never had assurance and you've never believed in Jesus for everlasting life, and you've always trusted that your salvation depends upon your works in some way, shape, or form, if finally you come to believe in the simple John 3:16 promise or John 3:36 promise, then you'll be born again for the first time.
Right.
You know, and you'll be eternally secure from that moment on. Well, that's all the time that we have for these questions. Thanks for the question, Rodney, and I'm going to try to follow up in a blog. If you'd like to sign up for our blog, go to faithloan.org and sign up. It's a daily blog. It'll give you something to think about, and I think it'll bless you.
Amen.
Thank you, gentlemen, for that great discussion. Would you like to deepen your understanding of Scripture and the Christian life? Well, a great place to start is our website. It's faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. We've got all kinds of free materials on the site available for you. One of those, which is extremely popular, is our magazine, Grace in Focus. It comes out 6 times a year. It's full color, easy to read, and people are really growing who read it. So come and get a subscription at faithalone.org. We would like to thank all of our financial partners who help us keep this show going. All gifts are tax deductible and very much appreciated. If you'd like to find out how you can be a financial partner, visit us at faithalone.org. We are so happy when we hear from listeners just like you. Maybe you've got a question, comment, or feedback. If so, please send us a message. Here's our email address. It's radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. Well, tomorrow on the program, we're going to talk about what it means to inherit the kingdom. So you don't want to miss out on that episode. I'm Lucas Kitchen with Grace Evangelical Society. And until next time, let's keep grace in focus.